in most marketplaces, if we, the customers, aren't happy with the product or service we've paid for, we can look at the other competitors and choose another option. If Ford sells you a lemon, next time you could go to buy a car, perhaps you'll be looking at GM models or a Chrysler or, God forbid, a foreign car. But in the complex utility marketplace, things are not that simple. The extended power outage and subsequent public relations missteps by the Lansing Board of Water and Light have no doubt left some angry customers wondering how they might be able to switch electricity providers. Here to help us wade through the answer is Ken Rose. Ken is a senior fellow at MSU's Institute for Public Utilities and a nationally recognized expert in electricity market restructuring. He joins us by phone from his home in Chicago. Ken, welcome to Current State.
Well, thank you for having me.
So the question's pretty simple. However, in the Byzantine world of utilities, I can't imagine it's an easy answer, but we'll give it a try. If some customers are angry at the electric company for not restoring their power in a timely fashion and they want to switch companies, how difficult would that be?
Well, people have probably heard about switching to a different supplier for their electricity. And a number of states, 13 states and the District of Columbia, allow residential customers to choose their own electric supplier. But you don't choose your own utility. The utility business is really divided up into three main components. There's the generation side of the business that's supplying the kilowatt hours. That's the part that is, in some areas, you have the ability to choose a different supplier. In Michigan, it's limited to 10% of the utility's load. Then you have the distribution part of the business. That's the wires that run behind people's houses and takes the power to the meter and into the house. And then there's the transmission side. That's the big power lines that you see out in, when you're driving down the highway. And so you have in some of these areas, you have a choice of who's going to supply the electricity, but you don't always have a choice of who your utility supplier is going to be, unless you happen to live like right near a border where you can put a new power line. And there's kind of a practical reason for that, because otherwise you'd have to have duplicate power lines running to people's houses if they were going to have a different supplier. So typically what happens is there's a franchise that's granted to a utility to serve a given area. If it's a private company, it's usually regulated by the state, or it's a municipal utility like what Lansing has that's run by the city.
So we're debating here in Michigan whether to have more energy choice or competition in our energy market. Would more energy choice in the generation, as you say, the generation of the electricity, would that make a difference when it comes to which company services the lines or repairs damage during outages?
No. If you had the choice of electric supplier and just assume you pick somebody other than your utility, if another ice storm comes along and takes out the lines around your house, you're not going to get electricity from anybody because that's being supplied by the distribution utility. Now, sometimes people want to change the ownership style of the utility. So what typically happens if there's a crisis like what happened in Lansing, people are always looking at the alternative models to what they have. So recently, as you know, there was that hurricane that went through New York City, Hurricane Sandy, and that flooded the system, took out power. People were without power for a week or more. And so they were looking to replace their investor-owned utility with a municipalized system, and the idea being that would be more responsive to the citizenry. In Lansing, I understand the debate now is is going the other way. Well, maybe we need a private company because the municipal utility didn't do such a good job.
Right.
The problem is, when something that broad happens, it's difficult for any style of utility to really manage a crisis like that because they don't have the people nearby that can really deal with something that's so massive and such a massive scale. They really rely on neighboring utilities to help out. Well, it wasn't just Lansing, of course, that was affected. It went through a big chunk of central Michigan, so the neighboring utilities were busy with their own systems, and I've recently heard now there was a headline that the Public Service Commission of Michigan is looking into DTE and consumers' responses to the ice storm, which is typical after something like that happens. But they obviously had their own crisis to deal with, so you have to call on utilities even farther away, and it may take days for them to get there, assuming they're not dealing with their own problems. So,
and there are contracts that exist between, say, the Lansing Board of Water and Light and backup crews, backup companies that might aid us in the event of an emergency.
Right. They have arrangements usually with neighboring utilities. And sometimes utilities in a big crisis will come from several states away to help out.
Oh, that's happened several times already.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But it takes days for that help to get there. And no utility in the country probably has the kind of excess capacity, you know, linemen and others in the bucket trucks and all the equipment that they need to deal with this to be able to handle something where 40% or so of the customers have been taken out by something like an ice storm.
You're not painting a real encouraging picture for people who are really craving choice here, it seems.
Well, whether or not Michigan should go to full retail choice for all retail customers, that's a separate debate. That's a debate about, you know, whether or not that's been working very well in other states. Have customers benefited from that? Personally, I think the jury is still out on that, but that's a separate debate about whether or not competition can develop for something like utility service. That's separate from making sure that your distribution utility is responsive to crisis and, you know, maybe how they can do things better in the future.
Our guest this morning on Current State is Ken Rose. Ken's a senior fellow at MSU's Institute for Public Utilities and a nationally recognized expert in electricity market restructuring. And we're talking about electric choice here primarily with Ken. How common are municipally owned utilities?
There are about 2,000 municipally owned utilities in the country. They typically serve smaller cities and towns. They usually have a board of some sort that oversees the utility, and they're also answerable to the city council or whatever political arrangement is in the area. So it's basically owned by the city, and they're pretty common for the, like I said, smaller cities and towns. Most of them typically don't own a lot of their own generation. They buy power often from investor-owned utilities. So the two big investor-owned utilities in Michigan are DTE, and that serves the Detroit area and outside Detroit and other parts of Michigan, and then consumers are investor-owned utilities, and those you can buy stock in, and they're owned by the shareholders.
Well, speaking from 5 miles up, Ken, does one or the other tend to be more responsive to their customers' needs?
I think what happens, you know, when there's a crisis, people always want to look at the other model. You could argue that the municipal utilities are more responsive to the citizenry because it's basically the city or town that owns it, and they have a board made up usually of people that live within that area. And they're overseeing a lot of aspects of the utility, not, you know, just its response to a crisis, but things like the prices and the power projects that they have, line projects, things like that. And in the case of the investor-owned utility, the argument is that the profit motive is a better motivator. But those typically are regulated by the state, the state public utility or public service commission. And so, if there's any kind of a disruption of service, they get investigated by the regulator. And of course, the regulator then is usually those are appointed by the governor. So either way, you still have some kind of a chain that goes back to the citizenry that are able to respond to some kind of a disruption of service. You could argue the municipal utilities may be a little closer to the people who live there, and generally, they do a very good job in those areas that they serve. I think most people are usually happy with their service. It's just that crises occur and then people start looking around for different models.
Thinking more about long-term investments, Ken, I wanted to get your thoughts on a couple of other ideas being talked about. What do you make of smart grid technology?
Well, the smart grid is really kind of a general term that's used to speak about a lot of different things, you know, things like the smart meters that some people may have attached to their house, better communications with the technologies not only within the house but all the way back to the utility. And there's one aspect of smart grid that's talked about that may be helpful in a crisis, which is better communication when there's outages so that the utility knows immediately when there's been a disruption of service for a customer. A lot of people probably don't realize it, but when the lights go out, typically the utility doesn't know. If you have a regular meter on the house, the utility doesn't know that you're out until you call them, and or your neighbors have called them. Then they can kind of figure out that something's going on. Some of the smart grid aspects or smart meters, for example, would tell the utility immediately when something went out. Now, I'm not sure how much this would have helped in this case, because with all the power going out, a lot of this obviously is dependent on having power in those areas, or at least backup power. And also the communication systems get disrupted. If they use phone lines or cell towers go down, you don't have you lose the communication that you're mm-hmm. really betting on. Now, maybe it works fine when, say, one block goes out, but when you have 40% of the customers going out, it's going to be a bigger problem.
There's a fair amount of discussion of burying electrical lines here in the Lansing area as well. How feasible would it be to bury these lines?
Well, as you know, probably if you live in a newer area, it's typical for them to put the lines underground right away in the distribution system. To do it in an existing area, though, can be costly. You have to go by where people, there are buildings, you have to dig the trenches, you have to bury the lines, move the lines down below, so it can be pretty expensive. And that's not exactly a 100% guarantee that that isn't subject to disruption. That can also, they can be flooded, and they can have, people can be digging where they shouldn't be digging with their developers, maybe could be stick a backhoe and take out hundreds of customers. That happens too, so it's not a complete foolproof way, and it is expensive.
Hey, how closely have you been following the local BWL drama, Ken? I mean, any thoughts on how this is playing out?
Well, you know, it plays out typically. I have seen a little bit about it. It seems to me that the investigations go forward. People are obviously upset early on, as understandably. I've been without power. It's happened to me where I was without for about 4.5 days. It's not a lot of fun, and you kind of wonder, and you tend to feel alone even if other people are out with you. So those investigations, I think, are a good thing. It'd be good for the utility in the long run, for them maybe to have to be more responsive in the future if something like that happens again. You know, something like, the good news is something that disruptive only happens once every 20 or 30 years or more. It's not a common experience. So
we've got to let it go there, Ken. We appreciate your time very much.
Sure.
Great discussion. Ken Rose is an independent consultant based in Chicago and a senior fellow at MSU's Institute for Public Utilities, who specializes in electricity market restructuring. Thanks for joining us, Ken.
You're welcome.